At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Lamorenzi. All right, so just for the record, if you're just joining, a shout out to our AM radio affiliates. I am Ramsey. Pete Yiannopoulos going to join us. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. Big man on campus steps up and in level three. Right now, we're just talking about this this dude on ESPN Deportes. They're talking soccer. And man, they got quite the panel. They got a big ass ESPN set and all this. And one of the walls, not just like the set, like the entire wall. You know what that reminds me of, actually? The episode of The Simpsons when Mo Sislak gets plastic surgery. And he goes, I get hired by any soap in town. And he slams the door and the soap opera set falls on his right on his face. Dude, that happens in Bristol, Connecticut. You're talking lawsuits. Since it happened in, like, Columbia, I think, they're going to be like, hey, listen, they're going to make the guy pay for the set. They're going to be like, hey, you broke the set, huh? They're going to be like, it fell on me. They're going to be like, listen, you broke the set. It's your fault. It's your fault. You were saying, this video is just too good. And I love the co-host just sort of keeps talking like nothing's wrong. But listen, and it was funny, I was just telling stories about this. You've been in the business long enough, and about 15 years ago, I was doing a radio show. It's similar to this, like 1 a.m. type thing, and the fire alarm goes off, but very loud and stuff. And it's just me and an operator, producer in the studio. And we're like, you know, it's the old days, so he's right sort of, you know, he's in a booth right in front of me. So he starts putting his jacket on and stuff, all right? So I said to him, what are you doing? And he goes, well, there's a fire alarm going off. We need to evacuate the building. And I said, how do you know it's not a false alarm? And I said, it could be a false alarm. I said, don't worry about it. I said, hey, we'll smell the smoke. Don't worry about it. We're good. And I said, we got a guest coming up here. You can't leave. We got to get the guest on. I said, we got a bunch of phones, you know, callers here. I said, you got to operate this stuff. And he goes, oh, there's a fire. You can't make me stay. So I told him, if you leave, you're done. And he left. So I told him, you're done. You're fired. About 15 minutes later, the firemen basically came into the studio and said, dude, there's a dentist office below you that could explode, you stupid moron. Bring it.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it right here.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football, the goal line. Baseball, home plate. Basketball, the net. Sports talk right here. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Late night anger management class. Why is cocaine bear trending on Twitter? Hashtag cocaine bear. Elizabeth Banks set to direct a bear-centric thriller, Cocaine Bear. The film is based on a true story. A 175-pound bear accidentally consumed over 70 pounds of cocaine that was dropped from a plane by a smuggler. The exact details of the film are under wraps. Well, I assume they're going to film this in Colombia, where Buddy just got decapitated and smoked. So they say that he's all right. I just retweeted this. If you want to go to twitter.com/@sportsrage, you can see this this video. So yeah, it's basically an ESPN set, except like just murdered, like absolutely smoked. Absolutely smoked. Like Homer Simpson said, he's watching Crashes. It's funny because it's not me, right? But hey, at least you got yourself a viral moment. Word is the dude's all right. We're glad that he's all right. All right, so we're going to get back to the college basketball. And we'll get into the NBA with Pete Annapolis in a couple of minutes. We're just talking about the perfect bracket. Do you understand any of these numbers, Matthias, when Merrill was talking earlier? Did you get any of this stuff, like 9 quintillion? 9.2 quintillion? Like, you even know what that is?
Pretty high. It's up there on the chart, that's for sure.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, so put it in this concept, guys. 9.2 quintillion. One quintillion is 1 billion billions. Man, I wish I had this much money. Elon Musk doesn't even have that much money. So 9.2 quintillion. One quintillion is 1 billion billions. 1 billion billions. See, this is like, still, with all that being stated, it's not impossible. it's not impossible. Like, what are the chances? You know, what are the odds, like, of, you know, one person, one time, one year hitting this thing? You sweep the board. You swept the board. If we treated the odds of each game as a coin flip, it makes the odds of picking all 63 games correctly 1 in 9.2 quintillion. Dear God. And if you go to the NCAA website, they actually have like a bunch of like scientific sort of graphs about this. So how about this? And here's this for you, Matthias. Hawaii. A group of researchers at the University of Hawaii estimated that there are... Oh, my God. All right, guys. So I just told you. The odds of picking a perfect bracket are 9.2 quintillion. The University of Hawaii estimates that there are 7.5 quintillion grains of sand on the Earth. If we were to pick up one of those at random and then give you the chance to pick which one of the 7.5 quintillion grains of sand on the entire planet we had chosen, your odds of getting it correct would be 23% better than getting a perfect bracket. There are 31.6 million seconds in a year. So 9.2 quintillion seconds is 292 billion years. There have been 5 trillion days since the Big Bang. Repeat the entire history of the universe 1.8 million times. And that's your chance of picking a perfect bracket. The Earth's circumference is approximately 1.8 billion inches. You would have to walk around the planet 5.8 billion times. But people were impressed because Giannis was 16 to 16. About walking the planet 5.8 billion times. As of 2015, the best estimates of the number of trees on the planet was 3 trillion. Imagine if there was one single acorn hidden in one of those 3 trillion trees, and you were tasked at finding it with one guess. Your odds of doing that are 3 million times better than picking a perfect bracket. So there's 3 trillion trees. There's one acorn in 3 trillion trees. You get one chance to pick what tree the acorn is in. And you got a 3 million times greater chance of picking a perfect bracket. Now I see. I told you, like Warren Buffett offered $1 billion, before. You can't do it. But you know what I'm amazed by? Just that a bunch of these math guys have it like really, really, really just come up with some sort of system and code to try to at least come a little bit closer. So basically, it's pretty interesting. People get 66% of the games right. The average bracket. Don't forget, there's no, it's people all pick the favorites and there's no money. There's no point spreads or anything like that. Wow. If every person in the United States filled out a completely unique bracket that was 66.7% accurate, there would be a perfect bracket. But it would take 366 years. Interesting. So it's possible. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. After everything I just told you, about it, you have a better chance of picking an acorn out of 3 trillion trees with one guess. The math tells us, basically. But this is basically if every person. So 350 million people did this every year for 366 years. There will be a perfect bracket before the year 2385. 2385. So it's possible. It's going to happen. Between now and the year 2385, there will be a perfect bracket. So why not you? Why not you? Why not me right now? All right? Why not? Man, at least we learned something right now. If somebody ever asks you in the future, Matthias, how many grains of sand are there in the world? You now know. You can tell them. You now know. 7.5 quintillion. 7.5.
I'm going to get that bracket this year, Gabe. Forget that. I'm going to nail that thing.
Yeah, why not? Doesn't it give you a little bit of hope now? I have a little bit of hope now, knowing that it's possible and knowing that it'll happen before the year 2385. I'm on the clock, though. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Pete Annapolis steps up and in. Next.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Eight technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the Hoop Heads, and everybody else in between throwing it down. SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates as well. Let's talk hoops right now. Pete Yiannopoulos, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, RDS television analyst, steps up and in. Pete, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. Very good tonight, my man, Gabe.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pete, ton of stuff I want to get to. NBA All-Star Game, NBA Hall of Fame, or I should say Basketball Hall of Fame, second half storylines, NBA, and of course, it's also March Madness, and the insanity has already begun. This is it, man. What a great time of the year to be a basketball junkie right now, Pete.
March Madness, baby. It's the best time of the year. It's March. The unthinkable happens. All the upsets will happen, whether there's 25,000, 50,000, or 2,500 fans. Upsets will happen.
No, you're exactly right, and we're already seeing it in conference play. So let's get into the NBA All-Star Game, and I know that you guys did a great job on RDS television covering it. It wasn't the most memorable game. Because it was, you know, it was kind of one-sided. But all in all, it was still a fun day. The skills competition was a lot of fun. The three-ball competition was a lot of fun. Damian Lillard's and Steph Curry's personal three-ball competition was a lot of fun. But, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, I think without Embiid there, it did hurt. Greek Freak's not going off. Giannis isn't going to be 16-16 if Embiid is there. But, man. LeBron did a great job drafting his team. They got to do. KD's got to do a better job drafting his team next time. Just too one-sided.
No, you're right. I mean, when you look at just the game itself, the way the rosters were constructed, you look at LeBron starting five. You know, Steph Curry, Luka, LeBron, Jokic. I mean, like. It's just, and Giannis, it's just unbelievable. I mean, that's how you want to really construct a modern day team. And I think the Embiid loss or him not playing definitely hurt. I mean, Embiid is probably, you know, the MVP of the year this year, just dominating inside. Even you saw him last year when he's engaged, he's tough to beat. But I'll tell you one thing, seeing Steph Curry go off in the game and then Dame following suit. And then we saw, you know, alley-oop dunks from Steph Curry and Chris Paul. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were all dunking, the little point guards dunking the basketball. It was still very entertaining because Steph Curry still moves the needle. And people gravitate to Steph Curry. And you saw it in the three-point shootout. Steph Curry was Tiger Woods wearing a red sweater in that three-point competition. The other five guys were completely afraid of Steph Curry, even though my man Mike Conley Jr. really shot the ball really well, and he thought he had won it. But Steph Curry should have put a red Nike sweater because they're looking at him like, wow, we can't beat this guy, and he delivered.
You know, great point. Pete Yiannopoulos kicking with us on Sports Rage late night. It's funny because so many people say, oh, I don't watch the All-Star game, or the All-Star game doesn't matter. Nobody cares about the All-Star game. Well, Steph Curry clearly cared. And that was a showcase for him to remind everybody, I'm still here. I'm still great. I'm still here right now. And you know, you saw that the show that he put on and Dame Lillard put on, the excellence in shooting, and seeing him play, Curry play with LeBron for the first time, that's the first time ever, guys. That was the first time ever Curry and LeBron were ever on the same team. And I can't believe that I didn't know this because I know a lot of trivial, dumb things. But I did not know that Steph Curry and LeBron James were born in the same hospital in Akron, Ohio, which is just crazy. Like, they were born in the same hospital in Akron, Ohio. Like, that's just crazy. And Curry talked about, he goes, people don't realize how many things me and LeBron actually have in common, like that, you know, outside of basketball even. It was fascinating just to learn stuff like that and see players like this play together. And I couldn't help but think, and all due respect to Klay Thompson, but I was just thinking, can you imagine an NBA team if you had Curry and Lillard really doing that in real games to you?
Well, first of all, it's just crazy the way LeBron and Curry being in the same, born in the same hospital. When I was coaching basketball, we used to go to an AU tournament in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, called the Kentucky Hoop Fest, and we would stop in Akron, Ohio, and play a game there. So I've been in a bar in Akron, Ohio. I haven't been to the same hospital as Steph Curry, LeBron, but I've been to one of the bars there in Akron. I can tell you that, Gabe Morenci.
That's crazy. You know, Pete Annapolis kicking it with us. You know, Pete, I actually had an ex-girlfriend. Unfortunately, she passed away, but she was born on the same day, same year, in the same town as Celine Dion.
Wow.
Yeah, same day, same year, same town. Different hospitals, ironically enough. They weren't born in the same place. I don't know if Celine Dion wasn't born in a hospital, whatever, but yeah, the same town, same day, same year, etc. Pretty crazy how life works like that. Pete Annapolis kicking it with us. So, Pete, the skills competition was a lot of fun. The three ball is what everybody looks forward to right now. What do we do with the dunk contest moving forward? I will tell you, I did like it at halftime. I thought it was cool at the half. It was a cool way to pass the half. But with that being stated, and no disrespect to the players that participated, they've got to get some bigger names involved in this thing. They just have to, Pete.
There's no question. And when you think about the NBA All-Star Weekend and the history of the NBA, it was always about the slam dunk competition. And I think, you know, it really started to gravitate and really polarize the world when Dominique went up against Michael Jordan.
Yes.
In that dunk-off. And Jordan went for the free throw. That changed the game. And, I mean, respect to Dr. J and the guys before that. But then after that, it was always guys wanted to be like Jordan and Dominique. And then you had, you know, Kobe Bryant came in. He won one. You know, you had Vince Carter that came in. And he changed it. He took it to the next level.
Put him on the map. It made him a superstar. Like, I don't understand why Zion didn't. Like, I don't get how Zion's shoe company didn't tell him, bro, you've got to do this. This is your iconic moment. Go do a crazy dunk. We're going to have posters. We're going to make a special shoe. And this is your Jordan moment. How the hell do they not see this stuff?
It's unbelievable. Very disappointing. Last year's dunk competition was incredible. I mean, Aaron Gordon against Derrick Jones Jr. was just great. And I think, you know, the one thing about Curry, and I'll tell you this, and I'll continue on slam dunk, but Steph Curry is arguably the GOAT, the greatest shooter of all time, right? He is the greatest shooter. The dude is still competing in the three-point shootout against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell. Because you know why? He just loves to compete. He loves to have fun. He has everything to lose. He's got nothing to gain by participating in a three-point shootout because he could lose to those guys. He doesn't care. Why don't the dunkers, the best players, the most athletic guys?
That's why they don't do it. It stems from LeBron because they're afraid to lose.
You're afraid to lose.
Yeah, it's going to hurt my brand if I lose to another guy that's not as big of a star as me. You know what I would do? I'd say, you know what? The slam dunk participants, you have to be on the all-star team. It's one of you guys. Like, basically, you have to be an all-star. You can't force LeBron to do it, but you know what? If you're on the all-star team, it's part of the requisite. I like that a lot. So at least it's NBA All-Stars. You know what I mean? Let's say Luka Doncic and a guy for to have fun. Hey, listen, I'm not the best dunker, but I'll do this. It'll be fun. You know what I mean? Like if it was just at least NBA All-Stars doing it against each other. nothing against Cassius Stanley and stuff, but Dominique Wilkins, and I love Nick, but the kid deserved better than an 8 for that first dunk, man. And I thought he was going to cry. Like, they crushed him.
It totally destabilized him. I mean, the kid was, like, knocked out. It's like he took a punch from Mike Tyson in the first round. The guy did one of the great dunks that we've seen. And the ATL boys, you know, Dominique and Spud and Josh Smith and Jay Rich, they're like, sorry, dude, not impressed. And then what about Obi Toppin? I mean, the dude did a couple of really good dunks, but off his second dunk, he was pouting. He was sad for his performance, and that affected the judging. And even in the final, he didn't really think he was that good of a dunk. Dude, finish your dunk, start waving. Tell the NBA All-Stars that are watching you to stand up and let you get up, get off your seat. I'm going to give you something, and he would have won. So, listen, there's no question that this year it should have been Zion versus Ja Morant, right? It should have been 1-2. Those are the best guys, yeah. You know. And if you want an ultimate one, you get Zion, you get Ja Morant, you get Gordon, you get Derrick Jones Jr. One last year, and you get Zach LaVine, 5 of the greatest of all time dunkers. You know, that's what the people deserve. But again, I think the only way, Gabe, that you're going to get those guys to participate ever is if you put in about $10 million. It's not even a million. That won't even do for these guys anymore. I think you got to put in a prize of $10 million. I don't know how they can get that. But it's unfortunate because all the great athletic superstars, they always went there. Dr. J, Jordan, Kobe, Vince Carter, LeBron James said no. And LeBron should have went to the All-Star Slam Dunk Contest in his career. He never went.
You're right. And LeBron sort of sets the tone for all the new stars to look up to him. Say, well, LeBron didn't do it, so, you know, why would I need to do it? But they all idolize Vince Carter. They all idolize T-Mac. And that was a nice touch from Simon.
Pretty Simon.
Yeah, with the T-Mac jersey. All right, we'll take a quick break. More Hoop Talk on the other side. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports. Just know about them. Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, kicking it with Pete Annapolis, RDS television analyst, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. So you know we're going to talk some college ball as March Madness approaches. But, man, we could talk NBA all night. We could talk about the All-Star game all night. But let's get Pete's thoughts on Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, Michael Cooper, Lauren Jackson, Ben Wallace, Yolanda Griffith, amongst the finalists for the 2021 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class. And as I stated earlier, when I said, oh, the NBA Hall of Fame, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? It's sort of like the Hockey Hall of Fame is similar. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame. So basketball, it's unique in which college coaches, WNBA players, there's a wide range of people who are in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Jay Wright nominated, who is a slam dunk Hall of Fame caliber coach. But you know what? Chris Webber, to me, I don't know what the deal is. There's always going to be an announcer or two that people gang up on and that people, oh, this guy's terrible and that guy's terrible. But Chris Webber seems to be that guy. But Chris Webber had a great career. He's been an ultra successful television analyst. He's now a professor, I believe, at Morehead State. I don't want to get it wrong, but I think it's Morehead. He's a professor now in activism and socialism in sports, etc. And he's just had a hell of a run, and he's just sort of remembered, oh, the timeout. The timeout was one play, bro. The timeout was one play. People should remember, Chris Webber was a damn dominant NBA player, man.
Hey, listen, I grew up watching college basketball in the 80s, and I loved the Georgetown Hoyas. Mourning and Mutombo and Ewing, those were my guys. But two players really changed the game for me. One was Larry Johnson for UNLV. I just loved the way they played in that swag. And the other one was Chris Webber in the Fab Five. I was all in on the Fab Five, the shoes, the shorts, the swag. The freshman, this guy, C-Webb, dunked on Christian Laettner. He dunked on the Duke Blue Devils. He brought them to two consecutive finals at Michigan. Nobody remembers who beat Michigan in the final. They just remember that it was the Fab Five. Yes, he did the timeout. It doesn't matter. They will always remember. And then he was the number one pick. He left. He just dominated, whether he played for Golden State, then he went to the Wizards, and then we know what he did with the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings were probably, arguably the best team to never win an NBA championship. And probably we could talk about Tim Donaghy and the NBA officiating, and if it wasn't for them, Chris Webber would be an NBA champion. And when I look at the power forwards of that generation, I think of four power forwards. I think of Chris Webber, I think of Tim Duncan, I think of Kevin Garnett, and I think of Rasheed Wallace. And if you look at it, Chris Webber, I mean, he was the best passer of all these guys. He had the best hands. He could dunk on everything. He could really defend. His jump shot was great from the foul line. I mean, he was right up there. It's just he went up against the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, and he just couldn't get it done there. But I'll tell you what, Chris Webber to me is an outstanding, was a dominant force in both college and in the NBA. And I'll tell you one thing, and I do the job that Chris Webber does, albeit in a smaller market here in Montreal and in Canada, but Chris Webber is so articulate, he's so intelligent, he gives you a side of the game that most don't give you as a former star player, and he has that acumen. I'm all on Chris Webber. I'm really happy for him. It's just unfortunate what happened with the Fab Five and what happened with Michigan and the Banners. But again, he gave props to Juwan Howard for winning Coach of the Year, so I hope that relationship gets rectified. But I'm all in on Chris Webber, a fantastic player. C-Web all the way.
Pete Annapolis kicking it with us. So, Pete, second half storylines, NBA, as the NBA returns on Wednesday. The Utah Jazz, obviously, were the story of the first half of the season. It's going to be hard to play at the level that they played at, you know, for forever. We know basketball is a sport in which the numbers always find themselves, and man, their three-point accuracy is unbelievable. The three-point volume is what makes them so successful, though. But you know, are the Utah Jazz just a first-half story, or are you buying in right now that they can continue this throughout the season and then into the playoffs and be Western Conference contenders?
I think in the regular season, they have a great chance to finish with the number one seed. I think they're extremely well balanced. And if Michael Conley could shoot the basketball like he did in the 3-point shootout, and he's at 42% of the clip, I mean, he's really going to complement Donovan Mitchell and alleviate a lot of that scoring pressure from the perimeter. They got a guy inside in Rudy Gobert that just helps him so much on the defensive end, not because of all the blocks that he has. It's all the shots that he alters and all the shots that guys don't want to challenge him inside. He's that dominant of a force inside that he makes them one of the elite defensive teams in the NBA. Can they make that? Can that translate in the playoffs in the best of seven series when you're going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis? I'm not quite sure. I'm not ready to put money on the Jazz over a healthy Lakers team. I think the Clippers are a team that, you know, they're a point guard away of really being the best team in the NBA. But without that point guard, I haven't seen enough of Kawhi and Paul George that gives me the confidence to say that they're going to win the championship. But I'll tell you what, if the Jazz continue to be healthy and they use and they fuel that, you know, criticism, and Shaquille O'Neal wasn't wrong what he said about Donovan Mitchell. It's like, dude, prove to me that you can be a superstar. You know, You've played really well for half the season. You're going to have to prove it to me in the finals. And don't forget, Donovan Mitchell, Gabe, he was part of Team USA 2 years ago at the World Cup with Greg Popovich as the head coach and Steve Kerr as the assistant. There was Donovan Mitchell as one of the lead guards with Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown, and they got knocked off in the quarterfinals. So, Mitchell, you know, you didn't win at Louisville. You didn't win with Team USA. You got to prove it to us that you can do it. But I think that if they remain healthy, but the other health on the other side of Anthony Davis and Kawhi will dictate whether the Jazz are serious contenders.
All great points that you raised, especially about the Clippers and the point guard situation. If they did have a legitimate point guard, a veteran guy, it would be damn scary. It really would be. But as good as the Utah Jazz have been, and it's been a great story, 27-9, and through the first half here at the All-Star break, so to speak. But a team that's right there behind them that isn't being talked about as much because of Utah's success, the Phoenix Suns. So who has more upside in the big picture between the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns? Because maybe we could argue that Utah kind of are who they are and they've kind of peaked and they're damn good. But are they suddenly going to be that different guys in the playoffs? Is Joe Ingles beating you in the playoffs? He's hitting that shot, right? Is Gobert enough? Is as good as he is defensively? Can Mitchell carry it through four rounds? Yet you look at Phoenix, they kind of do have the parts. And a lot of people rolled their eyes and wondered, why are they bringing in Chris Paul and why are they paying him so much money? Yet Chris Paul has been a perfect fit and a great mentor and influence for this team.
Well, it's a great point, and there's no question about it. They're the underrated team and probably the surprise with the Utah Jazz. But if you look at it, I mean, we know that they went 8-0 in the bubble last year, but they didn't really have the strongest strength of schedule. But right now, this team is second in the West. They have what you want into the trifecta. They have the elite floor general point guard in Chris Paul. They have the great wing shooting scorer in Devin Booker. And they have a big guy in DeAndre Ayton that really could, you know, put up double-doubles and be a force defensively. I love the acquisition of Jay Crowder to this team. Underrated as well. He went to the finals with Miami. He brings an element of toughness and a guy that could stretch the floor and shoot the three. Bridges is a guy that's playing really well. Johnson's shooting the ball really well. I think the only thing is depth inside. Frank the Tank, Kaminsky's getting some minutes there. They have a really great coach, right, in Monty Williams, who's underrated and knows how to motivate guys. But here's my thing, Gabe. Here's my thing. Chris Paul is arguably one of the great point guards of this generation. He's never been to an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, can he prove that he could get this team and win a couple of playoff rounds and ultimately, you know, upset a team and really take over? He had a chance with Houston, didn't get it done, albeit one time he was hurt with the hamstring. And Devin Booker is a guy that has all the physical tools to become the next guy. But once again, you got to prove it to me. He didn't want to participate in Team USA. He didn't want to play with the best players. You know, to me, that's a question mark. He wanted to play and work out in the gym in L.A., and then he was, you know, complaining that he was getting double-teamed, albeit all that. It's time to show, right? It's time to show, as Donovan Mitchell, you know, they choked the 3-1 series lead to Denver last year and lost in seven. They got to show it, and Booker's got to take that next step to get his team to really win a couple of playoff rounds. Phoenix doesn't have to get to the finals this year to be a success story, but they got to win at least a couple of playoff rounds. And Chris Paul doesn't have that much time left. He's going to have to prove it and actually try and win one. Chris Paul eliminated in the first round last year against Houston with OKC when they could have won that series as well. So, again, they have the tools on paper. First half of the season, they've shown it. Got to prove it in the playoffs, Gabe.
Pete Yiannopoulos. Pete, we got about 2 minutes left here. The Brooklyn Nets, we have to give them credit. They've been lethal and ultra scary since they've acquired James Harden. Crazy to note, they've only actually played 7 games with Irving, Harden, and Durant and everybody. So you know, we don't really know, you know, what it's going to look like in the big picture, but we know they're dangerous. Are you fully buying in right now? And like I said, we got about a minute and a half or two. Now they add Blake Griffin. They feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the NBA. Whoever's out there and is a vet, they're going to sign. And they're going to bring in. And they're going to get on the cheap because people are going to say, oh, why not? I'll play for the rest of the year here with these guys. And it should be a fun ride. What's your take on the Nets moving forward right now?
I've seen vast improvement defensively from this team, even without their best player and their franchise player that remains Kevin Durant. You've seen a sense of pride in trying to really keep guys in front of them. And remember, Gabe, when they hired their head coach, the outrage that happened when Steve Nash was hired because he never coached before. Remember that outrage, Gabe? Well, who is managing that train, that freight train, and all those prima donnas and all those alpha males? It's Steve Nash, and he's doing one heck of a job. Let me tell you this. You know, didn't really panic when Kyrie kind of bolted for a month, has kept James Harden at bay. Kevin Durant believes in him. This is a team that offensively, probably we've never seen a team this good. Joey Harris is incredible. You're getting good minutes from Jordan. Claxton, I think Griffin can give them something on that second unit where he doesn't have to be a go-to guy. They have all the ingredients that's going to be really tough for them to beat in a seven-game series. And I think with this type of talent, Gabe, and I think you would agree with me because you've seen so many history in terms of NBA teams and stack teams, if you're going to beat the Brooklyn Nets, it's going to either happen in the first or the second round. Because if they get to the conference finals and they get to the finals, they're going to be so locked in, you won't be able to beat them. I think the Nets are the heavy favorites to win the NBA championship.
Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS Television, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen, all fired up. Love the passion. We didn't even get to March Madness. We'll do it next week. Always a pleasure, Pete.
Thank you, Gabe. Have a good one.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Throwing it down the Twisted Tuesday. Great stuff so far. Thanks to Pete Yiannopoulos for throwing it down with us. Pete's super sharp when it comes to the hoops. Great college guy, too. We'll start breaking it down collegially with him. We were talking about the bracket and giving everybody a math lesson, including myself. But in case you're wondering, I know I was. What's the furthest anybody's ever made it with a bracket? Like, you know what I mean? We're talking about this barrier here. Can it be done? What's the furthest? It's like the movie, it's like the Dark Knight. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you know, who's been able to make the climb? Make the climb. No rope. Make the climb. You know, who's gone the furthest? In case you're wondering, because I was just thinking about it. I'm like, man, didn't a couple of years ago somebody like really, really shock everybody and people didn't believe them, but it was confirmed to be true and ESPN confirmed it. 49 for 49. He won the first 49 games. 49 for 49 is the all-time record. A dude from Ohio, what's his name? Greg Niggle of Columbus, Ohio, correctly predicted the first 49 games of the tournament before busting out in game 50. in game 50. We're more than three decades of online paper brackets to sift through, and the Kerman format has existed since 1985, with somewhere between an estimated 60 to 100 million brackets filled out every year. 49 for 49 is the most well-known, documented, successful run in NCAA tournament history. This son of a bitch, man, went 49-0. And you know what's crazy? He's not even a better. Oh, God. That's like Superman not flying. Like, you make me sick.